Third hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase. We're live here at Nissan Stadium. The NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman, the Predators, and the Tampa Bay Lightning announcing the Stadium Series that'll be here at Nissan Stadium on February 26th, 2022. It's going to be a great event. Tickets do go on sale to the general public tomorrow, so keep that in mind. Speaking of the Predators, you've got a chance to win tickets during this entire month, although we're getting close to October being done. Just post a picture of your radio or radio dial set on 102.5 The Game on social media, Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Tag the game and use the hashtag TicketDash to be instantly qualified to win. Show us your dash. Brought to you by Social Furniture. Shop local. Shop social. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, our show presented by Creation CBD. Creation CBD products curated for life. Speaking of Instagram, Oklahoma quarterback, or is it former Oklahoma quarterback Spencer Rattler, has deleted the University of Oklahoma from his Instagram bio.
It doesn't say Oklahoma quarterback. He gone.
Is he gone, or is this just a, you know, 20-something's way of pouting?
Heck, I don't know.
I would say probably you do that, you're probably gone.
I don't know. I've seen people change their bios on Instagram or Twitter 17 times in a day.
But the Oklahoma quarterback?
It's not the first time.
For Joe Blow, but this is Spencer
No, but this
Rattler.
Is not the first time that something like this has happened, that somebody with a big name is taking something off their profile, and then everybody freaks out because we freak out over social media now. But, yeah, I mean, you may be right. Like, no, he may transfer.
I'm just passing along. I don't know, yeah. But it does. It looks, to me, it feels like he's gone.
Purposeful.
Because they're not going away from this Caleb kid. I mean, they're going to stick with him. It's working.
But you got me
thinking. They were struggling with Rattler.
You got me thinking on something, though, Darren. What is Joe Blow's profile?
I don't know. I just know.
I'm going to be honest with you.
What's his handle on Twitter?
Joe Blow is just, you know.
I'd be scared to Google that.
You just don't know what you're getting from that.
Be very
sure
careful.
What?
It's a dangerous game.
Hey, Elijah, could you Google that on a work computer?
Who knows
what
the search comes up with Joe Blow?
One that'll give your computer a virus.
And who wants that?
Yeah, there's probably a lot of truth to that.
The mystery of Joe.
The Titans have made some moves. They have signed Greg Maben, who's a defensive back, from the Arizona Cardinals practice squad. So they've added him to the active roster.
And Greg has been with them before.
He has. Offensive lineman Bobby Hart from the Bills practice squad. They've signed him to the active roster. Returning to practice, but still on IR, is offensive lineman Daniel Munyer and defensive lineman Laurel Murchison.
And I would say that's just the beginning of
there's going to be some shuffling. But that is, in this day and age, a really big asset that a coach has because of the protocols they went in last year, the flexibility of your roster. I would guarantee every defensive back on every practice squad who watched Monday Night Football was like,
calling
man,
agent.
I hope I get a –
this is my chance.
The Titans are calling somebody. Yep. I hope it's me.
Yep.
So, Maben, come on down.
Well, actually, this is his second – he's had two stints.
Yeah. He
so
was
this
here
is third time.
Here, it was either last year or the year before he was had a cup of coffee.
He had two stints last year. Two stints last year with the team.
So I think that what we're seeing now, and, you know, how many times during COVID when we had no sports to talk about did we have the, you know, are there things that are going to be implemented that we learned that, you know, carry over to when things are normal again? And I think the NFL and their roster rules is a prime example of that because they expanded the practice squad to 16 and allowed you to, you know, they kind of relaxed the rules where you could have veteran slots on the practice squad. I think that's a good rule, and they've kept that. And then injured reserve, which for years and years and years, if you put a guy on IR, he was out for the season. I mean, he could like medically be out for 3 weeks, but he's out for the season. Then they finally changed it where you could designate one or two to return. And now they, because of COVID, changed it to 3 weeks, which is something that they're keeping. I think it's a fantastic rule. That's how it should be. It's on par with other sports where, you know, in other sports, you didn't shut a guy, you know, if he was going to miss 2 weeks, he missed 2 weeks. And you could bring him back. So I think that Mike Vrabel, especially with all the injuries that they have, to bring in, you know, Munyer back to help with the offensive line, Laurel Murchison, you know, have him back on the D-line. Being able to activate these guys, I think, is huge. And also, he did mention Brett Kern, that
looks like he's on track to come back.
He could be on track to come
back.
Well,
when you cut Townsend, that's pretty much the indicator.
That's, you know, you currently don't have a punter. So,
and Kern's coming back to practice, so that's probably a good sign. Unless there's obviously a setback.
Yeah, and keep in mind, not only was he on the COVID
list.
But
I guess setback is more about how do you feel.
Yeah.
How does he feel?
But not only was he on the COVID list, but he was out with an injury.
Yeah.
He had the groin, so making sure he's good and able to play. But you cut Townsend, who he's not very good, by the way. But cut Townsend, you know, that's a good
sign. He's boom or bust. Like he will give you a boom, and then he gives you a gosh.
Well, sitting right up here. Or no, wait. I was over there. Sitting right over there the other night. I feel like they didn't travel very far.
Yeah.
From where I was sitting.
What, did they announce it? Like his punts?
No. They just they made other announcements.
Do they say attaboy?
They don't say attaboy. They said let's give it up for a certain player that was being carted off. And it was a little awkward when they did that, but you know,
there seems to be definitely the PA announcer. It's been a little bit different for home games.
You and I were talking about this last night, and the way I look at it, for 20 plus years, Mike Duke Donegan was a part of the show. Like he was a part of the experience of coming to the game, that he had his style of doing it, mm-hmm. and you knew, and everybody would, you know, go third down. You know, they would impersonate him because he was a part of it, just like Paul McCann is a part of the experience of going to a Preds game. Thanks, Paul, and how he does it. And the new PA guy, like, one, I don't envy him at all for having to follow a guy that did it for so long and was the only PA announcer the stadium knew.
Nope.
That's asking a lot. Mm-hmm. You got to develop your voice. But at the same time, I feel like right now he's in the awkward phase of he's just a voice. Like he's not.
Well, it's not really just that because, yes, I agree with you. It's not following Bigfoot's. It's not fun, right? It's not.
It's not fun and it's not fun. Fair, but life's not fair. I mean, that's
well, I mean,
you gotta have somebody. And
the UFC made a change at the helm. And you know what? I remember having conversations with him. He was not welcomed.
Yeah.
At first. In fact, it was brutal. And it wasn't because he wasn't good, because he's now their guy. But it's because they didn't, you know, it's like, man, you're filling big shoes.
Right.
And
the guy to follow the guy.
Yeah. But in this case, you went Monday night and you said you told me what he said.
So here's what
over the Taylor one, and then Willie, you went to
the opener,
and you said, you know, I remember you telling the story. It's like that's different than that's going. Is the PA guy supposed to say it that way? Like that was, I just thought it was a little bit more of, are you supposed to announce it that way?
I thought he did it more like a high school PA guy would do.
Well, and like the other night,
just refresh everybody. So the opening game against Arizona.
Yeah, I just thought he did too much verbiage, too much description of what's happening, and not just the streamlined basics. Derrick Henry on the carry, tackle by.
But did you say here comes Derrick Henry back in the game?
Yeah,
or something
he was
like
doing
that.
Stuff like that. Well, that's why Taylor Lewan got booed. Is that he announced Taylor Lewan coming
back
into the
game,
and that's why the boos happened. That's not a typical.
Yeah. Right,
PA
to announce, hey, the offensive lineman's coming back.
It might
back
be something
game.
That you would do at your high school game. That, you know, because you know all the parents and the friends, you try to get everybody's name announced on the PA, that type of thing. But just thought he was too wordy.
Yeah.
That was my observation. I don't know if he's
well, and I know, I mean,
changed.
I noticed some of that.
Now.
Well, and what I was telling Darren is when Taylor Lewan was being carted off the field, and it was a very scary situation. He announced, "Let's give it up for Taylor Lewan," and it was like that was kind of his, you know, how he did it, and I was just like, I mean, I get maybe saying something like, "Hey, he's," you know, you can say, because I've heard Duke do that before of like, hey, he's looks like he's up or he, there's the thumbs up or something like that. But it was just a little over the top, and he didn't do that for other players. Like, he didn't do that when other players got up or were taken off or things like that. It was just when Lawan was carted off. And I get it. That was a little bit of a different situation. But still, it just it was not what I'm used to out of the PA announcer. The PA announcer, to me, while yes, it's the home field, and so there can be a little bit of homerism.
At the right time. Like when you're introducing the starting lineup.
Yeah.
And when you're announcing a touchdown, things like that. But there's time. You have to do it within the confines. You don't do anything editorial.
Yeah. Like, I think, and I've been to a lot of arenas. I've been to a lot of stadiums. And I'm not saying this just because, you know, it's we're the flagship and all that. I think Paul McCann does a really good job of how he presents the game, because his inflection with the home team and being, you know, hockey, you can be a little more over the top, and I think he does that. And then, like, when he's calling a penalty, you know, for the other team, you know, it's much more straightforward. And then, like, the St. Louis Blues are on the power play. You know, that's just a part of the show, of the experience of when you go to the game. I mean, when I did, and I had to learn all this. I mean, I just learned this recently of kind of knowing the steps to take when I did the PA out at the Super Speedway. I mean, it's,
but you're not really doing a home. That's a little bit different animal, because
it's different.
You're not doing a home team versus,
but like for driver intros, I have to be, you know, that's where,
well, that's just presentation,
right?
But there's no home team, right? You just have 40 but, drivers.
But and when I was going through this, and I went up to Dover and kind of watched how they did it, and I talked to other announcers that had done races, and Joe Williams being one of them, that you do, there is a play to the crowd element that you
definitely
can do.
Definitely.
Because, for instance,
well, Kyle Busch.
Right.
Of
for
course.
Instance, I knew before I even said his name, he's going to get booed. So how I announced him was I kind of did the buildup. I was like, and driving the number 18 M&M's Toyota Camry from Las Vegas, Nevada, Kyle Busch. And it just, the fans took it from there. And then Josh Berry, for instance, being the hometown boy, do the lead up. And as soon as I said, and he hails from Hendersonville, Tennessee, the crowd takes over. So there is, it's different because it's not like a Titans home game type feel, but there is certainly an element to it that you got to play to the crowd. And that's where I think Matt Rogers, who's the new Titans PA announcer, I think he does a fine job. Like, just, you know, from knowing what, when to talk and all those things, it's just finding the voice, finding the moments to either turn it up or turn it down.
And I think, you know, just like anything else, the more he does, the better he'll get, the more comfortable, if he's willing to take the constructive feedback.
Sure.
He'll get better at it. But I think, you know, here we are, what, four? How many home games have they played? Four?
Yeah.
So you hope that he just continues to learn. It's his first year doing it, right?
Right.
They've played three home games.
Yeah.
Three home, three away. Right? Mm-hmm. Arizona, Buffalo, and the Colts.
But I think what you can see is it is an art form. Like Paul McCann, immediately, he had it, right? And he's got exactly what you're looking for.
I don't remember before Paul. I know there are a couple before
Paul.
Paul.
The guys did a pretty good job.
I remember him well.
Yeah.
I mean, I just like
one guy we knew very well, Jim Knott.
Yeah, and Bill Cody.
Bill Cody, yeah, for sure, 100%.
Oh, that's right. Bill Cody did do it.
Bill Cody was the original, did an outstanding job. Mm-hmm. And, of course, he had a lot of other things going on. Then Jim Knott, excellent job. He had done it for the minor league team here for years. And then Paul. So
when did Paul start? Because Paul's been there.
I'm trying to remember what year he started.
15 years at least.
I don't know.
Has
it been 15?
I think he definitely was doing it when the new owners came in. And I think he might have started a little before that.
But, yeah, I mean.
Good trivia question. What was the first season of Paul McCann?
That's a very good question.
Has it already been 15 years? Okay, maybe.
I'm going to say absolutely by 2007.
Okay.
Maybe before that.
But, yeah, that's kind of, you know, in the game ops and, I mean, they still do the, they have like a video they've done now with the Folsom Prison Blues, which is kind of cool, where they have Sheryl Crow and John Carter Cash and different people singing Folsom Prison. And then at the end of it, they put in the Terry Tate, The Sound of the Pain Train, which, I mean, okay, I love that. I love the sound, you know, that. That's been here forever.
Yep.
Of doing that. But there's, you know, I think we're in a different era of game ops in that, you know, you got to make it a show. You got to make it more than just you're going to a game. I mean, if I'm sitting at
especially
home.
Especially in the NFL where the TV timeouts are
so
long.
Ever. It's more than just playing music now.
That's what I don't think they take advantage of at the Titans games. You have time. Like in hockey, it's moving.
Yeah.
But during football games, man, you got all kinds of. I realize you got all these sponsored things and you get the fan with the guy on the thing, but just. It just gets very monotonous over and over. Like, I really wish they would spice it up. You have time to really do some fun stuff with the Jumbotron and movie clips. You could really think outside the box, I think, and do a lot more.
But I think so many teams in all sports are faced with that now. They're realizing, like, hey, we need to do more in-game just because the attention span, you know, you got to keep people's attention when there's not things going on, and even when there are. I mean, that's the one thing with the Predators. Of we've talked about Barrel House or Patron Club or all these bars and things that they've put in that, you know, it's more than just going to a hockey game. You're going for a total experience.
This is his 16th season.
Wow.
Paul McCann, 16th season. Thank you to the text line. So, yeah, you guys were all over it. I didn't realize it had been that long. That's great. Good for Paul. Thanks, Paul. I mean, that wasn't Paul
thanks,
that told me
Paul.
On the text line, but thanks, Paul. Just wanted to say that. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about the opponent, this Kansas City team that's coming to town. What do the Chiefs present? I'm going to throw some things at you guys. Tell me what you think, how the Titans can take advantage of some of the things that the Chiefs don't do very well. We'll do that on the other side. Right now I'm going to talk to you about DraftKings and the NBA. We know the NBA is back on the hardwoods, and DraftKings Sportsbook, the authorized sports betting partner of the NBA, would love to give you a key to victory because they know the key to victory is a strong starting five. New customers, listen up. All you have to do is put down $5 of your money on any NBA team to win their game, and if that happens, you win $200 in free bets. $5 just to pick a team to win a game. And if that happens, $200 in free bets. So why not make your roster Washington, 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 and oh, yeah, we need five, Washington. DraftKings Sportsbook customers can also get skin in the game with the new same-game parlays. Combine multiple bets from the same game for a bigger payout. The more legs you add, the more money you can win. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. All you have to do is download the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use that promo code 1025GAME and just put $5 up on any NBA team to win their game. And when that happens, $200 in free bets comes your way. Use that promo code again, 1025GAME, this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, the authorized sports betting partner of the NBA. You must be 21 years of age or older, Tennessee only. Restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789. No thunder today. Sun is out. It is beautiful here in downtown Nashville. We're live here at Nissan Stadium. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase. You need to go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. Current deals include half-off gift cards for Retro Snow, Fat Cat Slims, Central Barbecue, Joyland in East Nashville, and Bad Axe Throwing in Nashville. Get your deals now while they last at thegamenashville.com. Remember, /deals. Right now, speaking of deals, we've got a deal for you. Dial this number, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Be lucky caller 5. And you'll win a pair of tickets to see the English Beat and the Fix at the Cannery Ballroom on October 27th. That's all you have to do. Be caller 5. You'll win those tickets. Call our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And you can go enjoy a show that Willie would love to be at. He perked up the other day when he heard that. He's like, oh, fix. What?
Yeah, he was all
and
about
English
that.
Pete.
And the English Pete.
Oh, I like
what?
Those. I like those groups.
What?
I like those groups.
Speed Color 5. Good luck with that. All right. Let's get into the opponent that's going to be here on Sunday. Believe it or not, I'm going to throw some things at you guys, and maybe you'll believe, maybe you won't believe.
Do you think I'll catch it?
That, what do you think are a couple of Chiefs' weaknesses?
Well, I'm looking at one right now.
You are?
Astounds me.
Right? Where? At Nissan?
On my computer.
It's that guy with
on
the
your,
lines.
Oh, on your computer.
The Chiefs' defense in defensive efficiency on Football Outsiders.
Is awful.
31 awful.
By the way, what are they?
Ranked 31st.
What are they worst
dead
at?
Dead last.
By the way, what are they the worst at? Look this up. Look it up.
All right.
What are they? What do they have a problem stopping?
The run.
The run. Not good. Not good.
Not good with that
Chiefs
monster truck that
sits in
the
backfield. Not been good stopping the run. Their defense wow. is not
but
good.
According to this, efficiency against the pass also not good.
Yeah, their defense is not good. It is
31st.
Not good.
Only Jacksonville is lower.
So you've identified one. What is the other one? There's one other one. Big, glaring weakness of the team that's been to the Super Bowl 2 years in a row. Chase is thinking. I see thought bubbles.
On defense specifically or just in general?
I just asked you about the Chiefs.
Because their run game is not very good. Because they keep getting guys
hurt. You know,
it's not that.
The guy, Williams, ran the ball very well last week. He had a good game.
Damian
Williams. Yeah. He's had a good season in the amount of carries he's had. He's not going to scare you, but he can keep you honest. I don't know what you're looking at, Darren. I'm not seeing it.
Stumped you guys.
You have.
You want to hear it?
I do.
It's on offense. It's not the running game. Do you know what they lead the league in?
Turnovers.
Turnovers. Ding, 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 ding. Patrick Mahomes is throwing picks like we'll be giving out candy on October 31st. Man, he's just handing it out all over the league. Here you go. And, oh, by the way, they just have a trouble holding on to the ball. They lead the league in turnovers.
That's
not getting turnovers.
Crazy to think about.
They lead the league in turnovers. You should be able to be opportunistic against the Chiefs because they've been giving the ball away.
Well, that's what concerns me a little bit is because I just want – Patrick Mahomes has thrown 8 interceptions.
Yep.
And I think – if I saw this correctly.
I don't think he's had 8 in a season, has he?
I think that's right.
I don't think he's had 8 in a
season.
I'm
pretty sure that's the case.
Hang on.
Look it up.
Last year,
look it up.
At least last year.
I don't believe he's had 8 in a season.
Well, you would be wrong.
Wrong? Okay. Mm-hmm. What was the most he had in the season?
12.
12? Okay.
The first year as a starter.
Okay.
So I think
he had 50 touchdowns, but he had 12.
Okay. But he was throwing the ball a ton.
He had only, I think, 6 last year. Maybe that's the stat I saw.
5
regardless.
Year
so the question is.
He's going to shatter that record. He's going to throw more than 12 picks.
But is he, though? I think that's a fair question is. Is this just a little phase he's going through, or is this going to be a season-long
thing? Well, it's a bad
thing.
Phase right now.
Yeah, but, okay, let's just say.
I mean, he's been throwing, it feels like 2 picks a game. I know that's not true, but it feels like
he's got 8. He's got 8 interceptions. That's a lot.
How many games have they played 6?
Well, they have, and Darren, you're not far off, because in 3 games, he's thrown 2 picks a game. So he didn't throw one in week 1. That's the only time he hasn't thrown. That was the win against Cleveland. The following week at Baltimore, threw 1 pick, threw 2 against the Chargers, 1 against Philly, 2 against Buffalo, and 2 against Washington.
So my question is this. Is it likely that Patrick Mahomes, one of the best on the planet, will continue to throw picks at this pace, or is he much more likely to stop throwing as many picks? I would choose the latter. It's like a 300 hitter in baseball, like Freddie Freeman, who really struggled at the beginning of the season, is usually going to come back around, and by the end of the year, his numbers are going to be there. That's
like
exactly
Cody
what
Bellinger.
Happened this
like
year.
Cody Bellinger. Yeah, we
really,
not really good hitter.
We don't need to.
Cody like, Bellinger, we, like eventually it'll come around, right?
We've made it till 12:30 without bringing this up. We don't need to. We
is
don't
a,
need to talk.
Is that
any,
a bad example?
We don't need any Dodgers or Braves.
No. What happened?
Struck a court there? Did we?
We don't need
hit
any.
Hot spot.
I wasn't gonna say that. I wasn't gonna bring up Cody Bellinger.
Don't need to.
But a guy that we talked about with Philip Forsberg. You know, usually game by the end of the year, if he plays the games, he's going to have around 30 goals. Goal scorers usually get goals eventually. I think that Patrick Mahomes is likely to not keep throwing these, but there's no doubt that that's been a big factor in why they look human right now. They were trailing in Washington. They got it together.
Why? Because they were giving the ball away the first half.
Yes. So it's not just the interceptions we should point out. They've had some fumble issues. They lost the game against the Ravens on that Sunday night. They coughed it up in a bad spot. Edwards-Helaire, he's out right now. So on paper, like you wake up on Tuesday morning and you say, great win against the Bills. Who we got next? Oh, we got to go to Arrowhead. Like on the surface, you're saying, how are we going to cover these guys? Who have we got playing defensive back? We got no chance. But then you start looking at these numbers, and you definitely say, okay, if they can be prepared, if they can ride the best player in football right now, Derrick Henry, maybe you got a shot. Can you imagine if they win this game? How quickly the perception about the team will have gone in a 180? Mm-hmm. Like it was so easy. Well, I watched the 5 minutes leading up to the coverage up in the booth on Monday night. Down on the field, it is Alex Smith, Randy Moss, Susie Colbert. I'm trying to remember who the other person was. There's a fourth.
Was Harry Douglas there? Or was he?
No. Oh. I'm talking about who was.
He was at the game Monday night. But
there was a fourth expert, former player, I think. But it was such a no-brainer. Hey, who you got in the game today? Oh,
Booger?
I got the Bills.
Was it Booger?
Yes.
Booger.
Yes. Who you got today? I got the Bills. Too strong. I mean, it wasn't even a thought. It was like, you know, I've been thinking about the tight. It was, oh, the Bills. It's all about the Bills. Well, that's going to change a little bit, I think, after that game. But imagine what it's going to be like if they are able to beat the Chiefs in Kansas City. And I for one, I'm looking at this going, boy, it's going to be very, very difficult to contain
the game's
Mahomes.
Here.
Oh, yeah. So even more so, you got to give him a chance. But, man, short week, serious issues at DB. But you got to give him a shot.
I think if you just look at the match.
What is the line, by the way, right now?
I haven't even looked.
I'll look it up. I think if you look at the matchup on paper, just with the struggles the Chiefs have had, and yes, the Titans have their struggles and the injuries and everything, but I give the Titans, this is one of the best chances they've had to beat the Chiefs in a long time. I think it's much more even than it has been.
Well, remember, they saved the season a couple years ago by pulling it out here, and a lot had to go right.
They've played. I mean, they have
but
played
they
well.
But they look like they, that game, what is it now?
Wow.
I guess it's 2019. When they were what was their record? 4-5, 5-6, something like that.
The year? Are you talking about the year they
when
went
they beat
to
them here? The when the Titans beat the Chiefs here and then lost to them in the championship game.
Yeah.
They had a lot of guys out for that game. The Titans did. I remember the injury report. I can't remember all the specifics, but I'm thinking they got no chance. How are they going to win without all these guys? And they found a way to do it. You have that same feeling right now at DB.
Yep.
Farley's out. Fulton's out. You know, the guys that they have struggled.
But here.
And now you've got all these weapons coming in. How are they going to do it? But the Chiefs look human right now.
They do. And here's the thing on that. When you have these no-name DBs that you haven't heard of that are going to have to play, and everybody's going, okay, that secondary, you can pick them apart. But at the same time, you have Mahomes that has been turning the ball over like he has. You get one pick. One of those guys gets a pick. That's confidence for the whole group. That can change the whole game. I mean, you saw the other night, Byard gets
that.
That
was big.
That was huge that when he did that. And Byard's playing with some swagger right now. The line's 5.5. Chiefs are favored by 5.5.
Wow. Chiefs are still favored by 5.5.
I have a feeling the Titans are going to come up in silly underdog picks for the second week in a row.
Well, don't
if
you?
I had to guess.
And I don't know.
Have you thought about taking the Chiefs because that worked out well for
the reverse jinx?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
Something to think about.
I may just have to pick against the Titans the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Now, does that line – why would that line be like that when
the that's
Bills,
higher than I thought
the Bills went
be.
To Arrowhead and thumped the Chiefs?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
The game is here. The Titans just beat the Bills here.
Only that I can think of short
why
week.
Why would they be the same amount
the
of
injuries,
the short week and the
short
injuries,
week,
no question.
Injuries. And, you know, you see this in college football a lot. None of this is different because these are professionals. But you come off that huge win. Like Iowa came off that huge win over Penn State. That's why I was telling Chase at the Preds game on Saturday. I was like, man, I'm kicking myself. I was going to pick Purdue. I had Purdue written down, and I went Virginia Tech because you're thinking Purdue at Iowa? Because Iowa just came off this big monster win over Penn State, and it's hard to recreate that, turn around the next week and do it again. Now, like I said, those are college kids. These are professionals, but it's still.
It is a point. And what did we both say with Mike Vrabel's press conference? When you have all this, oh, what a great win, patting the guys on the back, the press conference is not as needly, mm-hmm. right? Mike Vrabel was.
He's not grumpy this week.
He wasn't grumpy.
Last week he was very grumpy.
He was making jokes. He was calling some of the people who asked the questions by name.
Yeah, he was he was in much better mood.
He was in a much better mood.
Which should make you nervous.
Now, let's see what he's like tomorrow.
But I think you're absolutely right.
No, but he usually sets the tone. Like, he doesn't change. Like he sets the tone early in the week, and he just pretty much stays with it.
That's true.
Right? Like, last week he was just dumpy grumpy all day, or all week, right? He was just the same snippy. He had the same mentality the whole week last week. And this week, he seems to be a little bit softer, a little bit more gentler. Mike Vrabel, is that a bad sign?
We'll see.
Because we did. The reason, I know people are like, are you seriously talking about this? Yes. Because last week, were we not saying that? Like, oh, yeah. I like this. This is a good thing. He is in a bad mood. They have, for whatever reason, they have done well when he acts like this. We were saying that last week.
Yes, we were. But this is a great challenge. What a great challenge. And then after the Chiefs, isn't the next game against the Colts?
Coach Willie, let's take this one game at a time.
Just trying to survive.
Okay, go 1-0.
Survive this part of the schedule.
Just trying to go 1-0 this week.
Well, I mean,
did I hear a player say that?
Probably.
Did I hear a player, like a Titan, say, we're just trying to go 1-0? Did I just make that up? Because I was like, did you just use a college phrase? It's like college players and coaches say.
But to be honest, where they are right now, I mean, that really does have to be, that has to be the mentality. I mean, you never know who's going to get hurt again or all that. It just, you got to take it week by week. But
I do think that the Colts game is so, so big.
Huge.
In 2 weeks. You have to be thinking
if
that way.
They beat
In terms of, say, Julio Jones, if am I pushing it this week or do I want him next week? I think that's something to think about.
Here's the deal. If AJ is good, in which he looked good in the second half the other night, so if you have AJ and you keep getting, whether it's Westbrook Akina or Chester Rogers or Marcus Johnson, you get one of those or more, even two of them, contributing, doing those things, you're okay. Julio can get Julio healthy for later in the year. So, I mean, you'd love to have Julio, but if you get contributions from those guys plus AJ Brown and then Derrick Henry,
but if there is a game you're going to push it, it would be the Colts game more than this game.
Yep, because that's for the division. You beat the Colts, you're probably winning the division.
Give us some Derrick Henry. Odds on the other side.
All right, this is on the other side. Jimmy Shapiro.
Okay,
got some Derrick Henry props.
Congratulations to Michael Taylor. Michael was lucky caller 5. Elijah told him He's the winner. So congrats. Thanks for listening. Appreciate that. Willie, tell everyone about Loan Pronto.
Loan Pronto, mortgage rates on the move. Don't miss that chance to lock in the best rate that you'll get in your lifetime, perhaps, with Loan Pronto, the super popular zero-cost refi program. So many people doing this these days, and why wouldn't you? It's going to save you money. It's going to save you money month after month after month. And in the short term, once you get the process done, which is an all-digital process, it's fast, it's easy, virtually no paperwork. We're talking about ballpark 14 days to close. And then you could even skip your next two house payments. How great is that? Can't beat it. So call right now. If your current APR is over 2.75, call now for the free 30-second quote, even if you refinanced as soon as 6 months ago. Here's how you get in touch with Loan Pronto. Call and ask. Get the quote. It's free. 615-499-5780. 615-499-5780. Or go to loanpronto.com. Ask about that zero-cost refi. Once again, the phone number, 615-499-5780. Equal housing lender.
NMLS 1661781. Subject to lender approval. Not all loans eligible for zero cost option.
Our NFL game of the week on ESPN 102.5 The Game will be the Eagles from Philadelphia and the Las Vegas Raiders, who came off a big win with their interim coach.
Ooh, that was big.
Big win.
Did not see that one coming.
No.
Tells me more, honestly tells me more about Denver than it does anything else.
You know what, though? I will tell you this. I don't have the stats to prove it. I don't have the numbers in front of me. I would love to know what interim coach's first game record is in the NFL.
Well, we remember.
Great question.
Because
I
believe, my hunch is, that it is going to surprise you. It's a lot more successful than you think.
Do we remember when Mike Mularkey took over and they went to New Orleans?
Yes.
Do you remember Dan Campbell? Was it not Dan Campbell right here with the Dolphins? Wasn't that his first game? And they won?
You may be right.
I feel like Romeo Crennel won one in term first game. That's a good question. I'd like to see the research on that.
Like I said, I don't have the numbers to back it up.
I'm seeing if I can find that.
I would be. My gut is telling me that their record first. Remember, it's just first game as the interim. I bet their record is over 500. I bet it's pretty good. I bet it's a lot better than you think. By the way, our game of the week is brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Out in Chase's neck of the woods. Okay, let's get some Derrick Henry props.
All right, player props from our good friend, Jimmy Shapiro. He sends these out. I don't know why. I don't know how I got on the list. I don't know how you guys got it. Did you guys put me on the list?
Well, I've met Jimmy, so that's why I'm on the list.
Did you put us all on the list? You met Jimmy?
Yeah.
Probably so.
Yeah.
All right, well, here we go. Don't look at your email because you probably have this.
No, I don't have it, so I don't know why I don't have it.
What do you think the odds are Derrick Henry breaking the single regular season rush attempt record, which we often talk about?
What's the number?
Larry Johnson, 2006, 416. Now, it is a 17-game season, so keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. And as you follow every week, I mean, give me credit. I was on this before most. Now everybody's checking this. He is on pace. He is on pace right now for 432 carries.
Oh, I thought it was going to be higher than that.
And you said the record's 417.
Well, he only had 20 last week, so that helped bring that number down. He was projected for higher until he only had 20 on Monday night, which was huge for him to have that kind of game and not have to carry it so many times. So, do you want me to tell you, or do you guys want to venture a guess?
By the way, Nate, I think Nate is right. I wasn't creating that in my head. Nate on Twitter said that he thinks it was Derrick Henry's post game with interview with Lisa Salters.
Said we're trying to go 1-0.
I think that's right. I think that's exact. I think that
I did see that interview.
When
I don't
he
remember
said,
him saying
now
that
he has tweeted that at us, I think that's where I remember seeing. And I'm like, golly, that's. Boy, that's pulling Alabama Nick Saban. Like, wow, we're just trying to go 1-0 this week. I think Nate is right. Nate, good call. I'm going to go with that is correct. That's where I saw or heard that, or both.
All right. So is it a minus or a plus that he doesn't?
I think he's at a plus. That he does it, that he breaks it, it's a plus.
It's a plus?
Which means
it's
not the favorite.
I think it's the favorite.
He's on pace for 432 carries.
I think it's a plus.
I think it's the favorite. There's 17
games.
Yes.
He breaks the record for carries in a season. Minus 200.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's pretty heavy.
Wow. Minus 200 that he breaks and shatters.
Oof.
It doesn't have to shatter. All he's got to do is break it.
That's actually a pretty strong favorite.
No, is plus 150.
Oof.
So they're pretty confident.
They feel pretty good about
that.
Well,
remember, he's got the extra game to do it. He's got 17 games as opposed to 16. All right, here's the next one. There's two more. Here's the first. Will Derrick Henry have another 3-touchdown game this year? He has already has 3.
I'd say yes.
2 in a season? I'm going to say no.
Well, he has 3 already. He's going for a 4th 3-touchdown game. And they're asking, will he have another? Will he have at least a 4th 3-touchdown game this year?
He's already he has what, 10 on the year? 10 touchdowns on the season. So
he's had 3 against
Seattle. So he had 3 against Seattle, 3. What was the other? What was
Jacksonville.
Oh, Jacksonville.
And Buffalo.
Of course, Jacksonville. Of course.
And they got to play Jacksonville here. I'd say yes.
I'd say no.
I'd say yes.
Yes is minus 300.
Yeah.
Wow.
No is plus 200.
They got to play Houston.
Another Jacksonville game.
Well, and yeah. Here. But think about what he's done against Houston.
I know. Houston and Jacksonville, he just rips apart.
Yeah, I feel pretty good about yes.
Well, so the odds are in your favor.
I was going to say, I don't feel.
I mean, the odds are that he will do it, right?
I don't feel good about my answers because I've been wrong.
Okay. Will Derrick Henry have another 50-plus yard touchdown run? Okay. We talk about his ability to hit home runs.
Okay.
He had the 76-yarder. Now, let me give you the numbers.
Okay.
He has 11 50-plus yard touchdown runs. 11, if you want to call that the home run, I mean, you could argue if it's 40.
In his career?
Yes, in his career, 11. Chris Johnson also had 11. Those are the 4th most. The leaders in their career. Any guesses? 50-plus touchdown runs.
Barry Sanders.
Barry Sanders, 15, is 2nd.
Ooh.
There's one, and this surprised me a little bit to see this.
What era?
Eric Dickerson?
Nope.
Marshall Faulk?
Nope. More modern.
Emmett?
Nope.
More modern.
More modern.
Like how modern?
Oh, McCaffrey?
No.
AP?
AP. Adrian Peterson, 16.
Oh, yeah.
16 for AP. Barry Sanders, 15. Third, Jim Brown with 12. Of course, he only played 9 years.
Yeah.
And he played a lot less games because, remember, they were playing 12 or 14 games during his career. So Derrick Henry has 11. He had a 76-yarder the other day. Will he have another? Yes is what? Do you say?
I think that's probably plus.
What do you say, Darren? Minus or plus?
Well, I would say minus, so I'm going to go plus since I've been wrong.
Both of you are wrong.
Of course.
Minus 250.
Of course.
Minus 250. 2-5 odds that he has another. No is plus 170.
Darren, just remember the wise words of Jerry Seinfeld. If every instinct you have is wrong, then the opposite has to be right. I just watched that yesterday.
I've got some sports line odds that were just put out.
Oh, we have more odds.
On the next head coach at LSU.
All right. So is Mel Tucker the favorite?
Mel Tucker is not the favorite.
Mel Tucker
is the second favorite, tied with someone.
Is it
number two and tied with someone?
Is it a name we've mentioned?
I'm asking you guys.
Is it Tanya Tucker?
No, I'm saying Mel is on. Mel is tied for.
So he's not the favorite.
He is not. He's plus 500.
Joe Brady.
Joe Brady on a list of, looks like 10, top 10 list.
Not on the list.
11, actually. 11. Mm-hmm. Joe Brady is plus 1,200. He is ninth.
Ninth.
Who would be the favorite?
Joe Brady is ninth. Wow.
Ninth.
Who wouldn't have thought he'd be that low?
Lane Kiffin.
Lane Kiffin is tied with, not Tanya, but Mel Tucker.
For a second.
So Lane Kiffin and Mel Tucker are plus 500. There's a plus 400. And then there's a lot more.
Is this an individual we know?
I'm just asking names.
Jimmy Frank.
No.
James Franklin is plus 400. He is the leader of the clubhouse, according to Sportsline.
I would not take that bet.
Yeah,
no. I wouldn't.
I wouldn't either. I don't think he's going to LSU.
It's not a fit.
He's going to enjoy Hollywood.
I think that's a wasted bet. James Franklin is plus 400, number one on the list for the next LSU coach, according to Sportsline, followed by Lane Kiffin and Mel Tucker, tied for second. Jimbo Fisher, after that, I don't believe that.
No.
I have seen this one. I don't know if they'll actually do it. I guess if they get a bunch of no's, this could happen. Billy Napier. I've definitely seen that one. He's the coach of the Raging Cajuns.
Yeah, he's probably going to get a job this year.
Dave Aranda.
The name.
Plus 900. Yeah, obviously, they're familiar with him. Luke Fickell, plus 1,000. Mark Stoops. Yep, I agree. Mark Stoops, plus 1,100.
Now, wait a minute. Now, that's the one you've been bringing up, Dave.
Yep.
No?
Plus
Would you take that bet?
I think Mark Stoops.
Would you put a couple of ducats on that one just to invest?
I think he gets that job if other people say no.
Yeah, I think he could end up in the mix for sure, yes. Joe Brady, Mario Cristobal, and then finally, plus 1,500, last on the list, Bob Stoops.
Bob Stoops is not coming.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Hey, I like Bob Stoops on Fox. He's doing a good job.
Yeah,
Tanya Tucker not on there.
What about Marshall Tucker?
Nope.
No?
Nope.
Okay.
PJ Tucker, not on the list.
No.
We'll come back. We'll start the final hour. We'll talk with C-Mace. We'll switch gears. We're here at Nissan Stadium. We'll talk a little hockey with Chris next here on Darren Donica Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.